Praise the Lord. If you take your Bibles, we'll open up to the book of Colossians, the third chapter this morning. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll read together the first 17 verses. As I mentioned, the scripture readings that we'll be using in the mornings are in the staff devotional. Now, I don't intend to make this redundant for you, but since you've read it already in the morning, the staff will be ready to share. Brother Stephan will give you stuff to share, you know, and so we'll just be blessed, all right? And so I like to us to each read a verse, and I know that there are more than 17 here, but we'll start with the staff this morning on this side, all right? And Francisco, do you have Colossians 3? Not yet? Neither do I, so give me a minute to get there. All right. Verse 1, good.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
You have two, Stephen?
Yep. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
Verse 3, brother.
For you die and your life is not hidden with Christ in God.
Joanna?
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Five.
Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Because of this, the wrath of God will come.
In these ye too once walked when you were living in them.
But now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language.
Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices.
Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him.
Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all.
Sister Mary.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Sister Elsie.
Bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive.
Sister Roseanne.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Sister,
and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful.
Let the works of Christ in all their riches live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. We'll stop there, all right? Now, I do like to give opportunity to share. So that only works, though, if you share. Because we don't have a lot of time in the mornings. And so, but if God lays something upon your heart, I just feel like there is always something that we can give and receive from one another. So come.
I like the verse that says singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And singing can really do a lot for us. When I came up here by a roundabout trip, first to Newport, Rhode Island, and then from Newport up to camp. And somewhere along the way, I was in a little store and saw a shirt that said it was, it had a little saying on the front here, very small. It said, life is better when you sing. Mm-hmm. And I bought it. I thought, yeah, that's my kind of shirt. And I noticed something unusual would happen, something really good would happen to me when I was with my choir, when I directed my choir. I've got some annoying physical problems, not serious, but just annoying physical things that sometimes make it tough to get up in the morning. And when I was had my choir, besides the tours we went on, every Sunday, it was a long day. I'd have to rise any time between 4:30 and 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock and all day. And lots of times I never felt like getting up. I just didn't want to go anywhere. But I did, of course. And we'd get to a church, set up, and we'd sing for about an hour or more. And I remember starting and we'd sing the first song and then the second and the third. By the third song, I started to feel better. And by the end of the whole service, after we had sung for an hour, I always felt like I was healed. Amen. It just singing, especially when you sing to the Lord, it just does wonders. So for us. So anyway, if you haven't found that out, I encourage you to sing, and you'll feel better. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I think one of the thoughts that is behind godliness is this thought of putting off and putting on. I think it's easy. I know as a minister, it's easier for me to talk about pleasing Jesus than it is for me to tell people what's wrong with their hearts. But the Bible is very specific about what pleases God and what displeases God. Now, if I asked you to tell me where do you find the fruits of the Spirit, you probably could tell me. Can you? Galatians 5, right? If I asked you to tell me where do you find the works of the flesh, could you tell me that? Galatians 5 also. But the point is that we focus on the good, and I think that's right, in a way. But we cannot neglect the fact that Paul, in his letters to the Colossians, the Ephesians, then the Galatians, gives us lists of sins that need to be put off. Now, we trust God to do that work in us, right? And we don't want to necessarily dwell on it. But I think in the day that we live in, there are so many voices, again, that the world puts out to our young people, to our children, and we just heard a little bit about this morning. And the lines get grayed, so to speak. What is sin and what's not? Oh, that's okay. It's really not that bad. And yet the Bible is very specific. Go to Romans chapter 1 and see the sins that are listed there. The works of the flesh. The people that live in darkness, this is what they do. I was impressed before I came to camp with that thought of coming out of darkness. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now we need to live and walk as children of light. And so in this chapter, do we have that put off, put on? Do you see the list here that He gives of the things that need to be put off? These things should not be in any part of our lives as Christians. And yet it's a work of God to cleanse us. Why is it that we come to camp, it seems, and we dwell on, search me, O God? Why do we always have to look in and say, God, cleanse me? Why? Because that's what we need. We need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so God gives us his word, and this morning again. Here it is, put to death. Do you like that? Put to death. Mortify. These are the things that should not be. It interests me that, and again, I didn't mean to say this. I always happens, but, you know, there's Brother Nat. You don't mean to say something, but you feel you have to say it. So the thought is, well, you know, if God wants to change me, he'll change me. And I really have no responsibility because I can't change myself, and it's all about grace. So, you know, by the grace of God, here I am. And then I come to a verse like this, it says, put to death, mortify. It sounds like there is something that I am responsible for. And I think the readings that we have in the staff devotional, I think it's, there's a good balance there. Now these are not, these were taken from a book and not written by anyone that we know. But I think that the balance is there, or the teaching is there. That there is a dependence upon God, but there's also something that I need to do. I need to cooperate with God. I need to yield myself. He has given me the ability to choose. And if I just say that, well, you know, the devil's going to have his way with me and I can't really do anything about it unless God intervenes, well, I'm not sure that that's right. I think that you make hundreds of choices every day. If there is something you want to do, you do it. Now, you could have said amen at that point, because that's the truth. You make choices. You exercise your will every day. Preferences. Oh, I don't like this. I like that. And it's, if you would stop and think, you would see that throughout the day, we make so many choices. And now how come we can't make choices when it comes to pleasing God and putting off and putting on? Yes, by God's grace. Yes, of course, there is this working. He works and I yield. But I have to yield my will to him and say, yes, Lord, I want to please you. I want to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. But now here are the things that he talks about. Wherefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, do we need to hear that as Christians? Do we need to teach our children that? Our young people? You know, my children have said to me, Dad, if you don't talk to us about it, we're going to find out from somebody else. What's right and what's wrong? What does the Bible say? Well, it's very clear. One man with one woman in marriage. That's the biblical standard. No sexual relationships outside of marriage. And then this thing of being impure. What do we allow our eyes to see? What do we allow our ears to hear? Now, I don't want to... Well, maybe I'm supposed to be specific. But there's so much. I don't do TikTok. Maybe you don't either. Hopefully you don't even know what that is. But our kids know what TikTok is. And all the things that are uploaded onto that internet. Impurity. Our thoughts. And it's not just about the... Don't take me wrong. I mean, sin has been sin. All right? Brother James, sin was sin back then. And we battled with sin in the same way. Maybe not in the same exact way, but sin was there. We were tempted. Temptation has always been there. Temptation has been there from the beginning. And so we don't blame the internet. We don't blame... But it just seems our culture has opened itself so wide And so anything goes. And we're called to put off. Put off. And then he goes on. Well, maybe you say, well, I don't have a problem with those sexual things or impurity. But what about this? What about anger? Rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There it is. There it is. Those things cannot be part of us if we want to be like Jesus. So do we give place to anger? Slander, what is that? Did you talk about somebody? Huh? Did you malign someone? Filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other. Is that still a temptation? Times to cover over maybe something we've done, we just lie just a little bit. It's not a big lie. It's just a little lie. And God says these things need to be put off. Put off. Be renewed. Be renewed. It interests me at the beginning of the chapter, and I'm going to close with this thought. There's two things. It says to set your hearts on things above, or seek those things above. Set your hearts. And then the next verse says, set your mind. Now, I don't think they're the same thing, necessarily. I know there's that thing, but the heart. The heart. What do you love? In Daily Manner, I believe there's a quote from Uncle Hans. He says it this way. He says, it's your self-love that keeps you united to the world. It's your self-love, the love to please yourself, that keeps you united to the world. And so we don't put off certain things. Why? Because we love ourselves. The Bible says they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so we, even as seasoned Christians, old-timers, right? Let's not give in to the temptations that are around us. Are there temptations at 70? Oh, I don't want you to raise your hand or say yes, but are there temptations that we face? Oh, just to be a little bit, maybe, careless. It's not so bad. But he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we need to set our hearts on things above, our affections. And then we need to set our minds. The things that we allow to think, that we think about, that we dwell on. Because what we allow in through those, our mind, it affects our heart. And so let's focus those things on God. Now, what are the things we should put on? We'll finish with that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved. See, I like that. You're holy and you're beloved and you are. We are. Well, then what does it look like? Well, it looks like this. We're clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We bear with one another and we forgive one another. Do we need that at Pilgrim Camp? Yes, we do. We do. That makes camp beautiful. You know that? When we can be compassionate and kind and humble and we help one another so that everyone gets out the kitchen. And no one has to stay there till 4 o'clock, right? We help one another and we work together. And we bear with each other and we forgive whatever grievances we may have we forgive as the Lord forgave us. Praise God. And so, yes, let's put off those things that don't belong, those attitudes. Let's put them away. Let's put away the pride. And let's be clothed with Christ and his humility. Let the beauty of Jesus be upon you. So, dear Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this call. This call to live godly in an ungodly world. And Lord Jesus, we see that you need to remind us of these things. Lord, yes, we are your holy chosen people. We are dearly beloved. We are endeavoring to please you. But Lord, help us to see that there are things that yet you deal with us about. Things on the inside, maybe where no one else sees. Dear God, help us to put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. And so, Lord, help us this day, to walk in the light. As you are in the light, to have fellowship with you and with one another as the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, Lord, continue to shine your light upon us. Show us the things that displease you in our lives, not in the one next to us, but in our lives, in our own hearts, so that we can be clothed upon with your likeness, that we can be renewed in our minds by the Holy Spirit and be like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. So wash me now without within, and purge with fire if that must be. No matter how, if only sin, die out in me, die out in me. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus, 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 yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for these powerful words that you have given to us, Lord. Help us to more than take them to heart, but to apply them. Change us while we're here on these grounds, Lord. Change us. Make us more like yourself. That's our great desire, oh God. Make us what you want us to be. We thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And Lord, we just give this day to you. Help us to walk in your presence. Help us to walk in faith, expecting you to do what is in your heart of love for each one of us. Lord, we remember those that asked for prayer last night. We pray that you would continue to touch them in their bodies. Lord, we're thankful that we can come again and again to you and ask for the children's bread. And so let your healing appear in each one, in Jesus' name. Amen.